5% and we'll forget the story forever.
Joanne Whalley and Jared Harris star in The Little Foxes by Lillian Hellman. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
DJ Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro-Cubana, Cha-Cha-Cha, Afrobeat Highlife. It's all in the mix. Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Showtime. Tune in.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
The program is about to begin.
Radio.
For the people.
Here we go. Come on. The Mojo Hour of Power.
Radio.
We fire it.
For the people.
Yeah, it's the Pocho. Yeah. It's the Pocho Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM. I'm Jeff Keller.
Si, won't get down, and I am Esteban Sul in the casa.
Hey, and I'm Lalo Alcaraz over here in a disembodied voice.
Yes, man. You sound like you're in a sardine can this week. Usually it's a tuna can, but now it seems a little more compact.
Well, things are getting tough out here.
I appreciate it.
It's rough out here for a pimp. You know that.
You don't pay. You know, it only takes one key to open a can of sardines.
Hey, we're so broke, we can't afford the key.
Yeah, are we broke?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. You know, everything is groovy. You know, I'm at the Chateau on the weekend, and on Mondays I'm at the Comedy Store. Hey, anybody want to come out to the Comedy Store, come on out on Mondays after 10 o'clock. It's a great show, and you can walk out, smoke, drink, and walk back in, watch some comedy, walk out, smoke, drink, walk back in, watch some comedy, and it's free. Can't beat that.
That sounds like my exercise regimen.
That's a good exercise.
Yeah, I've been doing that to get back in shape, you know, back to my old school shape.
Right, and then my sister's out here visiting, so she's sitting in here watching. She never wants to speak.
Yep. Woo! I think she told me don't even mention that I'm in the room. So, Jeffrey, it's kind of weird that she did that. I felt like she said that to me under threat.
Man, I will never rob a bank with you because you will snitch. Look at that.
I just tell it like it is.
Look. Officer?
It's the bald-headed guy. He made me come.
Oh, Jeffrey, don't go that far. Look, we're not going to talk about your Grindr account. But
you're the only one on a Grindr. What are you talking about?
Look, you know I tease you.
I love that you didn't deny it. What's going on, Lalo? What's happening, man? Get me out of this.
Oh, man. Well, I had a heavy week last week. Going to Sacramento and then having the opening for Contra Ice, which was a smash hit on Saturday. Standing room only. It was amazing. Many of the artists were there and tons of people. Pomona came out, and I want to thank everybody that came out to that at Galeria Yasmin. The show is up. Art Ballish Ice is up through September, I think, and I got to look that up. It is my show, but it's 42 artists, and about 41 showed up.
Dang.
And then the audience was amazing. It was, I got to stand up two times. That's it. And I got a commendation from the city of Pomona. It was just hunky dory. As they used to say in Pomona in 1923.
I was going to say, hunky dory. That's crazy. And who we got on the show?
Did you say hunky dory or honkies adore me?
Oh, Lord. And who we got on the show today, man?
We have Patricia Guadalupe
from
D.C. and Russell Contreras for all the way from New Mexico. And I think last week was the Pueblo Revolt anniversary, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Celebrate by not supporting the soccer Spanish team. The Spanish soccer team.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. And Jeff, did you wrangle anybody?
Well, you know, our fabulous guy Steve Moyer has a guest standing in the light. It's a solo show at the festival at Casa 010. So yeah, so that's going to be awesome. They'll be on later.
I saw him out in the hall. He had a sling on his arm.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Jeffrey twisted my arm to be on the show today." Did you do that, Jeffrey?
Actually, it was rotator cuff surgery he did when he fell out the bed.
Really? Okay. We're not going to go any deeper into that. But let's get on with the show.
Band?
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 Let's cue up.
Patricia Guadalupe, Bojo correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Yes, yes,
hey,
yes.
Hey, hey, yes. Guys, how's it going? One more week down the drain, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, so to speak, yes. Patricio, yes. What is happening out there? There's so much with the dodging of the aircrafts, this whole reflecting pool. I'm and whatever else cheesemade that you have for us.
Oh yeah, well the dodging of the aircraft happens to be two flights, and this happens when you hire a bunch of, or that we're just saying on social media, you're hiring a bunch of gamers to be air traffic controllers and they're not fully trained. It takes a long time to be an air traffic controller.
Yeah, it does.
And there two full planes almost, thank goodness nothing happened there, but they were about to hit them each other head on because the air traffic controller wasn't apparently paying attention and they kept inching and inching and closer to each other. And then they found like, oh yeah, one of the planes needs to make some sign of move away from that other plane.
He's playing games on his
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, to be fair, he was focused on his high score. So
that could be. Well, you know, the secretary, the transportation secretary is that former real world Sean Duffy, who was on road rules, and he's been busy for the past few days on TV on all of these news shows talking about his son-in-law who won a Republican primary in Wisconsin, and he's basically on the show with him. The guy, his son-in-law, his last name is Alfonso. I think he's Cuban American. He's married to one of Sean Duffy's daughters, and he won a primary in Wisconsin and then he's running in November for a spot in Congress. But he sounds, when he opens up his mouth, he sounds like he's in elementary school. I ran because I know what I'm doing, and I want to help the people of Wisconsin, and I'm a lifelong resident. And he's sitting there next to his father-in-law, who is basically coaching him on what to say. So I would imagine if you're the transportation secretary and you're busy trying to make your son-in-law look good on the campaign trail. Maybe you didn't realize that there were two planes that were ahead, feet away from hitting each other and causing mid-air collision and a major disaster.
Well, at minimum, you must be smarter than a fifth grader to hold that position, right?
So you start out with that kind of nonsense, and you know, speaking of the primaries too, you have the pillow guy Mike Lindell, who ran for in the primary in Minnesota for governor. He lost, but he's refusing to concede a lot of cheating, and people are saying, wait a minute, but this is a Republican primary, so you're saying that your fellow Republicans cheated you? This is not the general election. And he's thrown out all kinds of ridiculous theories about what happened with his particular election, including saying that, you know, maybe what Trump said about Venezuela interference is true in my case, too. You know, ridiculous stuff.
Well, yeah.
Well, so he's refusing to concede. And then, you know, we have the press secretary, your favorite spokesperson, Lalo, Carolyn Leavitt, leaving to spend more time with her family, according to her.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah. Well, I heard her family would like her to stay at the job.
No, I heard when they did the whole plane switch.
Yeah.
And she was on the plane.
She went on with the reporters, right?
Yep. And she's like, she thought she was better than that.
You hung me out to dry.
Exactly.
Yeah, the young woman who's his right-hand person was on the plane with them. She's in her early 30s. She was on the plane with him. Carolyn Leavitt was on the decoy plane that, you know, we're saying, oh, it's going to get shot down. Obviously, nothing happened, but she was talking about she had a baby a few months ago, and so she's saying, I want to go home and spend more time with my baby, blah. You know how that's what everybody says whenever they're leaving under suspicious circumstances and don't have another job. I'm gonna go spend time with my family. But here's the thing: once she leaves the employ of the White House, she can serve as an outside advisor and get paid way more money than what she was getting as a press secretary, even though a press secretary was making six figures. Mm. But she's not under any kind of federal employee regulations.
Could do a tell-all book. That would everybody want to hear the behind the scenes on that.
Well, she was mad because she couldn't hide in the catering cart.
Right. Yeah. But what about that? Remember the press secretary that used to hide in the bushes? What was that guy's name?
Yeah, you're talking
on the first term.
The bald headed guy who was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
man. Oh. You know.
Well, he used to hide the bushes because it was just so he knew his job was a bunch of BS, and that's all he did. And he did not want to be confronted.
You're talking about Sean.
Sean Spicer.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Spicer.
He used to hide the bushes.
Melissa McCarthy, that fabulous actor, did a wonderful job of imitating him on Saturday Night Live when he was the press secretary. And if you remember all that, but there are several people that are in the running for that particular job, including Stephen Miller's wife, Katie Miller.
Lord.
Ooh, wow.
She'll cuss everybody out. That'll be hilarious, actually.
Yeah, can you just imagine? And then Alina Hava, remember her? She was the lawyer that got kicked out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey because she wasn't supposed to be there. And she was one of the Trump lawyers during the whole impeachment trial. And a lot of judges were looking at her briefs and saying, you don't even know how to write. You know, how did you pass the bar? That's another one. And then the CNN conservative mouthpiece, Scott Jennings, is another one that's in the running for that particular
job. Scott Jennings, he get on my damn nerves. That dude. You talk about somebody that can lie. Now, he can lie.
Well, he said last week that he had a 20-minute conversation with Mitch McConnell.
We're using a Ouija board.
Well, yeah, and he didn't say that Mitch McConnell answered him back.
Right.
But he did say that he spoke with him for 20 minutes.
He promised not to haunt him, I think.
Yeah.
He left the 20-minute voicemails when he did.
Yeah, pretty much. And so those are the people that are in the running for that particular job. And then here, RFK Jr. has solved the mystery of why there are so many, why Trump likes McDonald's so much. He has said.
Wait, this is breaking news. Hold on. Breaking news.
He has said that there are boxes and boxes and boxes of McDonald's on Air Force One because Trump is afraid of getting food poisoning. That's what he said. I'm not making it up, folks. And then he said, but he balances it out with healthy food at Mar-a-Lago. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, maybe, you know, a grilled hamburger instead of a fried hamburger. But of course, that doesn't explain why there are boxes and boxes of McDonald's at the White House, you know. But that's what RFK was saying, that the reason he likes fast food, that Trump likes fast food so much, is because he doesn't want to get food poisoning, especially when he's traveling. Right. So it's just the funniest damn thing. And then, of course, Trump earlier today said at a campaign rally, said that he's going to declare the Strait of Hormuz a U.S. territory.
The Strait of America.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be the Strait of Trump. Let's keep it real.
Yeah. Even though Oman and Iran are, you know, lay a claim to it. And there's nobody knows how he's going to make it a U.S. territory. But that's what he said earlier today.
Well, he can't get anything straight when it comes to Hormuz. And that's the sad fact. And he keeps lying to manipulate the market, right? Manipulation.
He's lying about the economy. He's lying about the war. I mean, how you know he's lying? Because his lips are moving. That's how bad it is.
But yeah, but the thing is, like, when he keeps like telling these lies to obviously, tip the scales on Wall Street. How many times are they going to fall for it? Because he's just people. When are people going to stop believing this man? Is the question.
Yeah. And remember, we have a commerce secretary who's a Wall Street guy, who is making money hand over fist every time Trump says anything, because when the markets move.
Yeah. And that whole betting on the market stuff, like the weather and whether Trump will say this or that. You know, like we talked about this.
It's all a setup.
And obviously, his sons are investors in that.
Yeah, like they're investing in the damn Los Angeles Lakers. I'm still upset about that.
I burned all
my Laker gear.
Yeah, that if for anybody who was asleep for the past few days, Josh Kushner, who is Jared Kushner's brother, is one of the people who is on the hook to buy the Dodgers. Although
Lakers.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Lakers. But that has to go through a whole bunch of, you know, all the other owners have to agree and everything.
Yeah, NBA had to vote on it. Yes,
the current owner, if this goes through, is going to make a profit of almost $2 billion.
But this is the issue, though, right? The issue is there's a federal investigation of the Dodgers owner.
Oh yeah,
on his insurance companies, and so that's why people.
Dodgers or Lakers?
The owner of the Dodgers bought the Lakers.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And he's under investigation, right, for insurance fraud or stuff that his companies are doing.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons that people believe that his team went to the White House and he's selling the Lakers to Iger and Kushner is because to save him from being investigated. He hasn't been charged with anything yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing, you know, that the grifting that goes on in plain sight is just, you know, it's almost staggering, the amount of grifting that goes on.
And you know, the whole deal to me seems like they're just going to buy it with money they've grifted through Kushner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or just funny money that is, you know, Bob Iger doesn't have $12 billion, right?
Nope. I mean, yeah.
Bob Iger has, you know, I don't know, he's not poor, but this is all like leverage money. And how come I can't get a payday loan?
You know why?
Yeah.
You know why? Because you're not friends with the Saudis. If he was friends with the Saudis.
Let me call the sheik right now. Hold on.
I guarantee you the Saudis are gonna have something to do.
You gotta dial 1-877 cars for kids, bro.
and you know that there's a lot of cryptocurrency.
You'll get Israel with that.
You know that. You know that there's a lot of cryptocurrency.
But look, we've gone so far down this terrible hellhole of a rabbit hole with Trump. Is there any chance for the American political system and democracy to ever at least come back to any semblance of where it used to be before all this?
No.
Well.
Or are we all done for?
No.
You're looking at at some of the primaries, and you have a lot of these progressive candidates that are kicking out incumbents, including several Democratic incumbents that have just been hanging out for the past few decades. And that shows that a lot of people are just really sick and tired of what's been going on. So it'll be really, I think the November elections, the midterm elections are going to be a bellwether for what's going to happen the last 2 years of the Trump administration, because a lot of people are fed up. I mean, the World War II Memorial, not that I'm supporting what they did, but they put some graffiti on there that was that said "clean hands, bad money," related to the a war in Iran, and they threw a bunch of bubble bath soap into the fountain, which is that part is kind of funny. Okay, you're not so, and you shouldn't be defacing monuments, but you have to understand that. People are looking at the situation in Iran and the fact that we're spending billions upon billions with almost 20 service members who've lost their lives, many more injured. You have a USS, a ship out there, an aircraft carrier that's been deployed for almost a year, running out of supplies. The sailors and the Marines that are on that aircraft carrier are complaining, and you think, wow, the Marines are complaining. You know it's pretty bad, and you have the Secretary of Defense saying it's no big deal. They're exaggerating, and the President saying they haven't really been out there that long. But you have a lot of folks who are just fed up with what's going on. And that particular aircraft carrier has not been able to go to any port because of our sad relations with our allies.
So are we just serving like Netanyahu's agenda here? Is that what Trump is doing? Or is because obviously he has no plan. He got put into this war. He has no exit strategy. So... But it helps Israel. It helps Netanyahu and his whole, you know, the way that they're looking at Palestinians and the Arab region. So are we really just doing his work for him? Is that what this is?
Well, look at what's happening in Gaza. I mean, with the president saying that, you know, once they clear out, we're going to put in a resort in there. That was the whole reason to do this, you know. And
hotels, that always makes Trump's eyes go bright.
And a golf course in Saudi Arabia. And you know that the Kushners are behind that. You know, all of this is related to all of these business transactions. And they use these battles and wars and skirmishes and insurgencies as an excuse to make some money. And you have to remember that Trump was the only president, even going back all the way to Carter, that said yes to Netanyahu with Iran. Right. And remember, folks, didn't we blow up everything last summer? And how is it that Iran all of a sudden can have the capacity to make a nuclear bomb, and that's why we went to war with them now?
Because Trump knows what they did last summer.
Well, and you know who's not you know who's not falling for this? these young kids. They're tired of it. They're tired of the old political system. They're tired of the old ways that things are being done. And just like the MAGA created their own Republican Party, these socialist Democrats are creating their own, and they're done with these people. And you watch, it's going to be a big difference when it comes to November.
And speaking of Trump, like, really wanting to put golf courses in the Middle East, to use an analogy of golf, I think he's going to find himself in the biggest sand trap of his life.
And the Republicans who have been kissing his ass all this time and not doing the job of Congress, checks and balances, and basically just letting him do whatever he wants, they're going to get a really rude awakening in November. And I totally agree with what you were saying about the young people. My nephews are in their 20s, early 20s, and mid 20s, and they voted, they're voting for people for change, you know, to get out all of those folks that are basically sitting around not doing anything. And looking at some of these young people saying, you know, I can't afford a house. I can't afford a house. You know, what is it that we're doing here? And you have somebody like Mitch McConnell. What job does anybody have where you could be absent for half a year and still get paid and not know what's going on?
Yeah. Well, let's keep it real. He's died three times, twice on TV. So this, I mean,
I mean, for all we know, he's just AI generated at this point. But the thing is, like, is there going to be some kind of democratic socialist revival? Because now they're trying to roll out this old dog whistle of communism, right?
Democratic socialism
is so different.
Look at Zul.
That's all ridiculous.
I'm telling you right now, these kids ain't listening to the rhetoric. They don't care what these old politicians are talking about. Only thing that they care about is what their eyes are seeing.
And what about domino theory, Jeffrey?
They're seeing that they can't afford a house. They're seeing they can't afford gas. They're seeing that their jobs are leaving. They're seeing that there's no Medicare for them. There's no health care. They're tired of it.
But domino theory.
They're tired of it.
They can play dominoes when they're old.
The fact that you have a lot of these Republicans, because there are Republicans that are saying this, oh, well, you know, if you vote for some of these progressives or some of these democratic socialists, they're all communists. I mean, you know, make up your mind. You're either a socialist or you're communist. You can't be both. And one does not mean the other. No. And who is complaining about it? All of these Republicans who have taxpayer-funded pensions.
Come on now.
Every single one of those members of Congress. You know how long it takes to get vested in a pension outside of Congress? A long time.
Yep.
In Congress, it takes 5 years. That's it.
But is there really a true communist communist country right now? Because China is like,
but we're not. They're not communist.
China is beating the United States of capitalism. Are they really communist? I mean, is there a communist country?
This is communist. It's socialism. No. Those are two different things.
Yeah. So communism is almost extinct, unless.
But when you have people who are ignorant or willfully stupid. Yes. And not paying attention, they hear, oh, they're communists. So, you know, this is another
Red
part
scare.
Of this.
It's just a trigger
McCarthyism thing.
Yeah, Red scare.
You know, and when people's like, oh, well, I'm not going to vote for so-and-so because he's a socialist. Well, then don't go to the library. Don't call the police. Don't call the fire department. Don't do any health care. Don't do any of the things that socialism don't
take your social security.
Don't collect your social security. Don't collect your unemployment check. All of those things.
But look at Wisconsin and the election there. I mean, people are afraid of these Muslims put in positions of elected officials, right?
But here's the thing. You know, Dr. Mehmet Oz, and Mehmet is the Turkish word for Muhammad, okay?
Yep.
So his name is Muhammad, okay? He is not only a Turkish citizen on top of being a U.S. citizen, he was in the Turkish army, and nobody said anything when he ran for the Senate. He lost, But nobody said anything when he was appointed director of the Medicare and Medicaid services under HHS. And you know why? Because he's a Republican, and it's okay for to be a Muslim if you agree with the president. That's basically what's happening now. Because if you look at the some of the Muslim candidates that are running, it's almost like they have to be super educated to the point like, how many PhDs can you possibly have in one family for someone to take you seriously? And that's exactly what's happening in Michigan, and in Minnesota, where you have in Abdul Al-Sayed, in Michigan. He has a PhD, an MD. His wife has a PhD, an MD. She's a psychiatrist.
That's right.
His father is a PhD. His mother is a PhD. His stepmother is a PhD.
And wasn't he ahead of healthcare?
He got involved
in politics because he wanted to change healthcare in the way it was.
Right, because that's what he ran.
Yeah.
He was the director of health for the city of Detroit, actually for Wayne County, which includes the city of Detroit. And he gave the city was able under him to give free glasses to all school children, and the city was able to eliminate medical debt for a whole bunch of people, you know. And so when people say, oh, well, I'm afraid of, you know, Sharia law, you know, if you look at some of the concepts of the, they're the same thing as the Christians, you know. This is a bunch of baloney of Islamophobia trying to scare people with things and then being very hypocritical about it and saying, well, Dr. Oz was in the Turkish army. How come nobody talks about that? You know, right. Because that seems to be okay. And you see, this is why you have a lot of young people who are saying, this is really ridiculous. You know, these people are my neighbors. I go to school with their children. And I'm looking at a bunch of paranoid white guys flipping out over, you know, the increasing diversity of the country. And this has been going on for years, where you have a large, diverse group of people and they're coming after them because they're afraid of giving up power. I mean, it may sound paranoid to say that, but that's exactly what's going on, where you have a lot of these old white guys who want to hold on to power because they're afraid to give it up. And that's exactly what's happening in Congress with all of these Republicans who don't want to say anything, because if they go against Trump, then he's going to primary them.
Well, he's a lame duck. But Patricia, we got to go. What we got to look forward to next week?
Well, let's see when what's going on with the reflecting pool and with the World War II Memorial and a couple of other things up in Congress is out. But, you know, the president is going to be talking about some things related to the Defense Department budget, which is probably going to cause a lot of consternation. And then there's some more primaries coming up real soon. So we'll see about that.
Maybe Patricia, I heard that Trump is going to cover Mitch McConnell in gold. What do you know about that?
Yeah, when you folks come to D.C. at some point, you're going to have to see some of the bronze statues that Trump covered in gold at cost of about $2 to $3 million for each bronze statue. It is the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Well, he wants to put his name on more buildings than a graffiti artist. But
that's what's happening with the Kennedy Center. They took his name off, but then they're going to put in there, renovated by President Donald Trump.
Right on. Patricia, thank you so much for being on the Pocho Hour of Power, and we look forward to talking to you next week with more of this madness.
All right, folks. Talk to you later. Really sets me off to a full-on chow. Yes, it does. The way you squeeze and tease knocks me to my knees. Cause I'm smoking, baby, baby. The way you sway and curl really wrecks my nerves. And I'm so excited, chow.
No. Not only are KPFK listeners smart, interesting, and forward-thinking, you're also very generous and deeply appreciated. Thank you so much for pledging your support to KPFK during our fund drive.
Hey, this is Lila Downs. You're on KPFK. You're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Oh, yeah. We back. KPFK 90.7 FM.
Long it down. And who do we have in the casa with us, Jeffrey?
We have Josephine Lopez.
Hello.
And the cast of Stand in the Light. How we doing, people?
Great.
Thank you for having us.
How you doing?
And what you got going on, girl?
Well, we have a solo show festival. It's the first time Casa 0101 does this. And we have two performers. There's 15 different shows, and we have two people from these shows. There's three of my shows are in here. One of them is called Hollywood Cholo. Which is most of the stuff I write is very funny. And
wait,
and
Zoo's not in that.
He's Barrio Cholo, yeah. And then we have another show called Confessions of a Sexy Latina Exorcist. Yeah. And so Christiana Lucas is here, she stars in that. And Alejandro Bravo stars in Hollywood Cholo. And we have four programs, and one of them is all entirely in Spanish. It's called Aquí Estamos y No Nos Vamos. Here we are, we won't leave. And it's different stories about different Latinos, and it's in Spanish. And then we have another program called Brown and Out and Fabulous. And that one is four shows, and it's about the LGBTQ Latino experience. And a lot of these have like a spiritual bent, or they're very funny. And then there's also a show called Oh My God, I Married a Narcissist. And it's I can't tell you too much for legal reasons, but it's a show about a woman who marries someone who's very famous, actually. I can't tell you his name.
Orange.
But he's not. And she uncovers a lot of things about this famous celebrity that you have to come see the show to find out who he is, because my attorney has told me not to mention his name. But when you see the show, you'll be like, okay, I thought so,
I know.
Yeah. And, funny enough, a lot of women would probably say, oh my God, I could star in this show. How many women have married narcissists, right?
They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
There's one sitting right behind.
and then we have a last show called Latinos Are Us, and that is four different shows. And and you guys know Chicano Secret Service?
Yes, we do. For some reason,
yeah. Tomas Carrasco, who is now, he has a PhD in Chicano Studies, and he is starring in it.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And then these two performers are in Program D. And this, anyway, it's a wonderful, funny show. And part of the reason I'm doing this is because I want to empower Latinos to write their own stories and act in their stories and become their own business people and create their own show, so they're not waiting around to be discovered. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these performers, especially a lot of them are my students. These obviously are professional actors, but some of my students, it's an opportunity for them to take their destiny into their own hands and create their own material. One of the things that inspired it is because, the Hollywood Fringe is a festival that happens every year, and it's mostly white people. And they actually have a scholarship for people of color because there are not enough people of color doing one person shows, right? Mm-hmm. And I always get the scholarship every time I apply because, there's hardly anybody applying. So I'm hoping to create more and empower more Latinos to get themselves out in the Hollywood Fringe and also in these festivals. And then here's the thing. AI is taking over. And the one thing that AI can't do right now, or hopefully not in the near future, is theater with live actors, with people telling their stories. And so this storytelling is becoming more and more important. And that's why we want people to be inspired to tell their stories, especially right now when we're being vilified, when we're being told we don't matter, where we're being treated like animals, where Latinos are being persecuted, the way the Jewish community was persecuted, before World War II. And so for us, it's a way of fighting for our humanity and showing the incredible spectrum of experience of being Latino here in Los Angeles.
And that's the beauty of the arts, right? Because that's how they come for. They come for the artist first.
That's right. Yep. Because it's the artists who inspire people to not necessarily take up arms, but to use their art to fight back.
That's right.
And Josefina, you have been writing plays for forever. You're so prolific. And like there's a lot of hardworking playwrights in our community, but not enough.
Not enough, yeah.
And things like what you're talking about is kind of like trying to pass that baton, right?
I do. I'm not a gatekeeper. Like whatever knowledge I have, I pass it on, I share it.
Yeah, and that's great. So, like, are there programs that you have over
at Casa 0101?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, we have a lot of acting classes. All our acting classes for children are free. The parents just have to commit to showing, bringing their child. Otherwise, they have to pay, you know. And we have I'm going to start to teach writing. I teach a class called Mystical Dramatic Writing. And it's combining your ancestral roots in telling stories. And then I'm teaching advanced playwriting. And the focus is on people who want to write plays about court cases or events, historical events that are not in the history books that are important to civil rights, especially as it concerns to Latinos. Right now I'm writing a story about the women who were sterilized at General Hospital.
Oh my God.
That's a play that I'm going to be finishing in September, or first draft. But I'm going to share with people the process of how you do the research and how you dramatize, how you take something historical and make it emotional so people can take action at the end of the play and do something with what they've learned.
Well, how about like creating a database of sorts that would be like, where are these plays that people of color or from our community are writing and can get into and get into certain places, get them produced?
Yes,
I mean there must be not that many, but I'm sure there are some available.
Well, right now there are not everyone. I mean, we need more writers. And we need more people to be empowered with the know-how. And that's also why I teach classes. I also have a website called josefinalopez.biz. It's still getting I'm transitioning from one platform to another. But I have a lot of resources there with free writing resources. Because I want everyone to have all this knowledge. You know, I tell people, look, it would have cost you $20,000 to get all this wisdom, and I'm giving it to you for free.
Come on now. Well, let's get to your actors and actresses.
That's right.
Now. Yeah. So let's talk about what you're doing in the festival in your plays.
My name is Christiana Lucas. I worked with Josefina on a film last year called 20 Pounds to Happiness. And one day I invited her to coffee and I just wanted to catch up with her. And she told me about Confessions of a Sexy Latina Exorcist. And I fell in love with the idea of it. The script, the way that she pitched it to me, I was like, I would absolutely love to do this. And it was so different and so fun. So when she offered me the opportunity to kind of embody this character, I was just over the moon for it. So that's what I've been working on.
And you told me you love paranormal things, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
not everybody can handle a role like this. Because the story is about a woman who loves to vanish demons. She's not afraid of anything paranormal, but she's afraid of dating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are plenty of demons and serial killers. So it's also about being afraid of being vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the contrast of being really hot and sexy and being underestimated. And then when people hear that she's an exorcist, they run away. And then her kind of going, I'm going to end up alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a juxtaposition, right? Because everybody has this idea of who you are and then how you truly are. In those regards, it can be night and day difference. With her, what I loved about her is that even though she's this badass chick, she still cares enough to say, this is wrong, this needs to be stopped, and is willing to get down and dirty with some demons and vanquish them, you know?
Wow, that's amazing. And next to you?
Hey, hello, I'm Alejandro Bravo, and I'm performing Hollywood Cholo, which is pretty much, I play this actor who made a living out of playing cholos in Hollywood. And I'm buying a gift for my mom, and I'm driving. I get pulled over by the cops, and the cop says that I'm familiar. I look familiar, and I'm trying to explain, but things escalate, and I get shot in the bum. And now I'm in therapy.
So it's about a cholo in therapy.
And cholo,
right?
Cholo in therapy because he got shot in the booty.
In the booty, and just... I encourage people to come out again. We're doing this. Me, Josefina. I've worked with Josefina a couple of times, and it's all about community. But this is like it gives it a voice. I get to play. I get to do some Shakespeare. I get to do
all the roles that you don't.
Yeah,
have
that
for
I
normally right?
normally don't get the
because
the
people
opportunity,
stereotype you, especially with that mustache. Right?
Yeah. I grew this mustache for Hollywood Cholo.
I can see that. That's
it's a handlebar mustache.
the OG stash. But yeah, we're excited. We're just excited to bring community out, and like I said, we want to empower. We want to inspire, and I think the cholo, you get an image of the cholo. But the cholo is really rooted in our Latin community, and it symbolizes, for me, a warrior, a spiritual warrior, someone that protects the community. And if I could show that at a glimpse, then I did my job.
Yeah, and what inspired it is that there's a famous actor who's so famous, he has played Hector the Cholo like 8 times. Oh, and when you think of a cholo, yeah, oh, I don't want to say his name, but when you look at his resume, they go, because it's all these white writers, screenwriters, and they all call him Hector because I guess Hector was the first in the gang to die because Morrissey said so. And I go, okay, at least call him Juan or Jose, but like, why does he have to be Hector? And that's kind of what started this idea of like an actor who becomes so famous playing cholos that the police actually think he's a real cholo. And then the cost and the karma of it and the reality of why this actor has settled for these stereotypes and the damage it does to Latino actors. Because I've met so many actors, you know, like I have actors who only get cast as shamans. That's it. When they show up, they're like, okay, you're the shaman or you're the cleaning lady. And they don't get the opportunities to do more complex roles. And so here's an opportunity for someone to do like 10 different monologues to show their acting range.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like when my hair is very straight, like Native American hair. Oh. And so when I would go on audition, they didn't know what to do with me.
Oh, yeah.
You're not black, but you're not really Latino. We don't know what to
Where do,
do
we put you?
You're talented, but we don't know what to do. But no, it's funny. Like
you're the genie.
Yes, the genie. But no, like at the Comedy Store, Mitzi, right?
Uh-huh.
She looked at Ned Hortense and said, no, you'll never make it as Ned Hortense. Ooh. We're going to call you Carlos Mencia.
Ah.
Because that's the name of my gardener.
And then she said, don't pay your taxes.
I know. Yeah.
So great advice.
Exactly, right?
So, you know, it's just how they see us and how they view us. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these people have the power to define you. And so part of the reason I'm teaching people to do one solo shows is so that you get to control your narrative. You get to show your stories. You know, you get to play the roles that no one's going to give you an opportunity to do unless you do it for yourself.
Yep. Well, Sabina, can you tell everybody again all the details?
All right. Well, first of all, we're giving away tickets for the two top shows, Aquí Estamos and Brown and Out and Fabulous.
And Aquí Estamos is in Spanish for Spanish speakers.
There you go. See, I Lalo, I didn't mess it up too bad.
No.
You can call 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735, and get your two tickets for these two top shows. Go ahead.
All right.
And when are the shows?
So there's four programs, so you've got to really pay attention. The first program is August 21st, 22nd. And you really just check out the website, casa0101.org, because there are four programs. One is in Spanish. One is an LGBTQ program. One is a one-woman show called OMG, I Married a Narcissist. And then the program D, which includes these two shows that I've written, opens August 30th. So please look at the website for all the details. And it is at Casa 0101. And people go, oh my God, is it Boyle Heights? Is it safe? I go, it's across the street from the Hollywood Police Station. So if you get to the street, you get scared, run across the street to the police station.
Well, hey, we want to thank you guys. And Josefina, it's always a pleasure having
thank
you on
you,
our
thank
show.
Thank you. KPFK is the best. You guys have always supported us. You're the best. I love this radio station, so thank you for having us.
Awesome. We'll be back with more.
Thank you, Josefina. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm not in the studio to see you, but thank you so much.
All right. We'll be right back.
Okay. With Russell Contreras.
Lalo for me, so I couldn't hear him.
It's Russell Contreras from Answers Latino. It's Russell Contreras from Answers Latino. Hey, 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 hey
Oh, yeah, we back. KPFK, what's going on, Russell?
Pochees and Pochexes, greetings from the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, here for the National Association of Black Journalists, and I just got off the stage.
Wait, hold up. Black journalists, and you were the speaker?
I was just moderating a panel with the great Martin Luther King III and his wife, Andrea Water King. They were talking about the Black-Brown Coalition that they are forming, moderated a panel where they were discussing the need to create a new Black-Brown Coalition that will engage voters and set forth an agenda because, as you know, by 2046, this country will be majority-minority, and the majority of that segment will be Black and Brown residents. They're saying it's time. This is, of course, Martin Luther King III's strong commitment to fulfill his father's last crusade, which was building a poor people's campaign, which he organized with Chicano, Native American, poor white Appalachians, and Black Mississippi folks from the Delta for his last cause. Unfortunately, he did not see it to fruition because he was assassinated in Memphis right before the Poor People's Campaign. Something that he's real dear, and this is something that he wants to see through his own fruition through his lifetime. Talked about the panel here at the National Association of Black Journalists, and it was a very powerful discussion.
Russell, a lot of people don't know this about me, but my dad was black in the 70s. And he told me, mijo, we were all black in the 70s, mijo. All of us, we were all black in the 70s. So I believe...
Well, my dad was actually black in the 70s. You know.
and throughout his life, I'm sure.
What about the 80s? That's what I'm worried about. Did it change in the 80s? And it's like, that was in the 70s. But no, it was really interesting. Hector... Sanchez from Mi Familia Vota is a part of the coalition. It's something that those two, those three are going to go around, and on September 16th, they'll be releasing their agenda in Washington, D.C. I had the panel with my partner in crime, Delano Massey, managing editor for Axios Local. He and I, when we write stories, we're the only black and brown byline that we know of when we're writing stories, so we together and discussing just the challenges of getting these stories in the media, because a lot of times, a lot of folks don't see the importance or the criteria for this as being an important news story to see this Black-Brown coalition building.
I love it.
That doesn't mean there aren't tensions. Yeah, there aren't. Doesn't mean that the people are still mad about the elections. That doesn't mean that there's distrust. But as we talked about, that distrust has been going on through the years, but also coalition building going all the way back to the Underground Railroad to Mexico. If you go from there, all the way from the Black-Brown coalition, with the Black Panther Party and the Chicano movement, Brown Berets, you see coalition building. They talked about they're living off that legacy and they're trying to create something new.
I love it. Yeah. Dang, Russell, you're on a whole nother level with me now. I didn't know.
No, you know, just hanging out with those two, you know, kind of here in Atlanta. They're like, hey, Mr. King said, what's up, Russ? Like, hey, what's up, my brother? How you doing? So with you.
I love it.
Also, in Axios. I just like, you know, looked at the story. I looked at census data, and it looks like, you know, as I mentioned, U.S. is projected to become majority-minority by 2046, but hundreds of rural pockets across the United States are already majority-minority. We looked at some stats, and it looks like around 403 counties in the U.S., roughly 13% of all counties are majority-minority. And about those, 222 are rural counties. These are areas outside of the big cities. They're in the South. They're actually in South Texas and parts of New Mexico and Nebraska and Kansas, because you have so many immigrants moving to meatpacking areas. Alaska. In the areas of the South, what's interesting is it's not that there are black residents moving to these places. It's that the white residents are dying and either moving out. And the black residents, their ages are pretty steady. So you have areas in what we call the Black Belt, majority, and then minority, and in South Texas. This is kind of a clue to what's going on for the rest of the country. But these areas are very poor. The counties aren't very ready to handle civil rights complaints, civil rights discussions. So it's a preview of what's coming when this happens. How are you going to handle this population? How do you handle elections? How do you handle the cultural change?
Thank you, Russell, man. We got to cut you short because we got a surprise guest coming up, man.
Thanks, Russ. We'll see you next time, man.
Talk to you next week. Ahoy!
All right, brother. Ahoy. And coming up,
right to our special guest on the phone.
That's right. We got on the show the one and only Andre Simone. What's going on? Woo! Welcome to the Poacher Hour Power,
what's
brother.
What's going on?
What's up?
What's going on?
Where Andre thought we were never going to get to.
I know. Andre's like, dang, y'all took long enough.
Hey, it's all good. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen.
That's right. And what is happening tonight or this weekend, Andre, which is one of the reasons, other than, you know, we're big fans, we're, you know, you were...
He's history. He's history.
You're a historic musical figure. You're still making music. You're from Minneapolis, and you were Prince's best friend, I guess. I don't know.
Part of the revolution.
Yeah, I'm part of the revolution. And I got to meet you through Contra Ice, which we got a lot, so much coverage this week on Rolling Stone, Spin, all kinds of things.
Good.
What do you got going on?
I got a lot going on. We're having the record release party tonight at the Love Song Bar. And next door at the Regent, they're having an event for just playing some Prince music. And so I think I'm going to crash that party, too. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But, you know... I mean, funky music. The new album is coming out, or the new album came out today. So we're just really celebrating because it's been a long time coming. You know,
well, tell us the name of your new album, man.
Say what?
What's the name of your
What's
new album?
New album's name.
It's called The Resurrection of Funk.
Oh,
come on now.
There you go.
Shoot, our buddy just passed away. Cat Daddy. He played with Rick and them, Rick James and them later on.
Yeah,
bass player. So I'm gonna send out this to his family.
Definitely send love out to him. Yeah,
yes, absolutely. Yes. But how does it feel, man? I mean, you were part of history, man. You were part of, I mean, you guys dominated the '80s in that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, absolutely. But I, you know, I look at it differently because I think, you know, I think you got to keep making music. And
yes.
What you guys were talking about earlier today is why you got to keep making music. Because, you know, the voices, you know, when you think about it, back in the 70s, you know, and you know, I know you're talking to Martin Luther King III. I remember I met Dexter King back in the day, and we used to talk about some of that stuff. But you got to keep, you know, with what's going on, you got to keep the voices up because they're going to keep trying to silence us. You know, but we got to keep talking about what's going on right now. And so that's some of the things that are on this record, and Contra Ice, and what they're doing with that record. I mean, it's really... Now is the time, because they were speaking to us back then. Back when they were making, you know, Curtis Mayfield, Marvin Gaye.
Come on, Temptations.
Family Stone.
Stevie.
Temptations. Stevie War. I mean, those groups were talking to us. They were trying to tell us. They were getting us, navigating us, because, you know, America was coming of age. Our music.
Yes. Andre, that's so true. That's true.
Yeah.
Because...
No, and we're at a crossroads again.
So yeah. Exactly. But right now, like this... Yeah. This administration has no regard for free speech. They're trying to throw lawsuits and shut down people who come against them, and it's almost created this. It's creating this
fear.
Environment of fear for people to speak up and just do it. But if we all do it at the same time, they can't get us all.
Exactly.
They can't get us all.
So you can't mess with our numbers, because you know what we got. We got the brotherhood of man.
Come on now.
Go.
Yeah,
no,
thank you.
That's the
you
truth.
Know? And so we are going to prevail. You know, they can try whatever they want, but it's not going to work. It's going to fail. And we just have to stay, you know, connected. Because that's what they're always afraid. They want to keep dividing us. And they're afraid that we'll come together and we'll realize, hey, we're all in this thing together.
Yes.
We're the brotherhood of man. We're going to, you know, stand up and we're going to be counted.
That's right.
What's going on right now. And we got to keep that up. That's the reason, one of the many reasons why I wanted to be involved with the Contra Ice, you know, movement. Because that's powerful. You know, that's powerful.
Hell yeah.
You know, and people are going to be, you know, they can be afraid of it. There's nothing really to be afraid of. Because really what we're trying to do is say, hey, we're only as good as our neighbor.
That's right.
We're as good as the community next to us. Whether that community is, you know, is black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. You know, I mean, we're all connected. We're brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You know, and you know, I get what people are trying to do, and I don't even think, you know, it's the people that are in positions of power that want to keep us divided. The average person doesn't want to divide.
No.
They want to. You know, because when you think about Martin Luther King, who was out there behind the marching? Everybody.
Everybody
so,
was.
You know.
So
yeah,
tell us so in 30 seconds, where are you going to be and what's going on?
Where am I going to be? I'm going to be, like I said, at the Love Song Bar tonight at 6 o'clock. And we're going to, 6 to 8 is the release party. And then from 8 to whenever is the party where we're going to have just have fun and let it loose. So that's tonight.
That is at 450 Main Street.
Yep, there you go. Yeah.
And it's going to be the Resurrection of Funk official listening party. Andre yes. Simone, you're one of our heroes.
I know Jeff Keller's going to be there. I know that.